In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon Avenue. Come on down here to First String Sports. This is definitely the place to be. That's what we call it. I do my show live from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. First String Sports, they've been my day one sponsors. So really, really appreciative to them. For the next 2 hours, we're talking pure high school sports here on 1430 ESPN. If you don't follow me on Twitter, go ahead and do so, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You can also follow the radio station, 1430 ESPN. I know last night they were able to broadcast the Clovis and Buchanan baseball game, talking about Jose Gonzalez and Mike Brink. I believe that was only the second or third game we were able to broadcast. It's been a wild and wacky beginning of the baseball season and softball season due to weather. Track and field season, any outdoor season, right? It's been crazy with the weather in the Central Valley. I want to also thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. Right now it's 51 degrees. It's going to be a high of 67. And looking at my phone at the weather forecast, guess what I don't see? I don't see rain, which is awesome for next week. There is a chance of rain on Tuesday and Wednesday a few days ago, but that's gone away according to my weather app. So that's good news for baseball and softball in the central section. There's tons of tournaments. Spring break. Spring break is here. I'm a fifth grade teacher, man, and I was celebrating yesterday for sure. Get a week in that extra Monday off. So happy spring break to everybody out there next week. So what's going to be on the docket for today for the next 2 hours? I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo after the break. Gabe also was at the Buchanan and Clovis baseball game yesterday. Talking with Gabe about Fresno State's Pro Day. They had the Pro Day on Thursday. I'm sure you guys, if you watched the news, you saw clips of that. Jake Haner slinging the ball around. But Gabe was able to be there with his own eyeballs. So looking forward to talking to him about that. And high school baseball as well. In the house, live at First String Sports, around 10:32, I have Holden and Houston Hirschkorn, Kingsburg baseball players. You've probably heard about them from Kingsburg. And the reason why is because, you know, first of all, their dad, Oscar, is the head baseball coach at Fresno Pacific University. But these kids, I've been hearing about them for years. They're juniors at Kingsburg High. Kingsburg High is 12-2 on the season. And I think they were really put on the map as far as baseball goes in the whole Central Valley after winning the Coca-Cola Classic. The Vikings beat Clovis in the championship game. They beat Clovis West as well. Just a very, very impressive run in the Coca-Cola Classic. So looking forward to talking to them around 10:30 or so. Also be talking with Fresno baseball coach Jason Pappy around 11:30. Oh, I went a little bit out of order. My bad. Jim Fever is coming on in hour number two. He's the head baseball coach at Fowler. He recently collected his 500th win on Thursday in an 11-2 win over Carruthers. Coach Fever's been there since 1999 as far as a head coach. He's a graduate of the school. He got into coaching right away. Just an incredible, incredible career so far. He's not slowing down at all. He has 6 Central Section titles in his career, 11 league titles. Looking forward to talk to Coach Fever. And, you know, the Fowler Easter Classic is starting today. Today, actually. So we're going to be calling him, checking in with him about all the good stuff that's going on down there in Fowler and talk about his career. And I mentioned Jason Pappy, Fresno High baseball coach. He's in charge of the massive Fresno Easter Classic that's next week starting on Monday. Just a massive event. Tons and tons of moving parts. I believe there's 6 different stadiums that games are played at. You know, I mentioned the no rain in the forecast, and that's a good thing because – I tell you what, there's a lot of nervousness going around with next week and getting these fields in shape and holding off the rain. Looking forward to talking to Jason. Always a good time when I talk to Jason Pappy. I want to mention a few things before we hit the break and bring on Gabe Camarillo. I was able to, on Wednesday of of last week, or just a few days ago, I was able to take my students, eighth grade students at my school, to a conference at the Tulare County Office of Ed. The conference was called Huddle Junior, and it was under the Pursuing Victory with Honor umbrella. And it was an awesome event put on by Tulare County. It was about, there were about 150 junior high students, mostly eighth graders. There are a few seventh graders there, but mostly eighth graders, boys and girls. And what the conference was about was helping student athletes transition to high school, right? We talk a lot about high school kids going to college and, you know, all the changes that happen there, getting your classes and all the moving parts that happen from going to high school to college. But this was going from eighth grade to high school. And it was an incredible experience. Just my kids came away with a wealth of knowledge. They had things like how to take care of your time management, how to budget your time as far as going to class, after school practices, games, when to study. There was also social media, right? And we know how big social media is, taking, you know, being smart with your social media posts. Now, again, this is junior high kids going to high school, talking about social media. Also, team building exercises. There are four different breakout groups that our student athletes got to go to. And what really impressed me is that they were student-led. They were led by students in Tulare County. So there are kids from Tulare Western, Tulare, Strathmore, Redwood, Mount Whitney. And those kids have been trained to to put on this event. And the breakout rooms were led by them. It's just an impressive event. So kudos to Tulare County for doing an event like that. And if Fresno Unified ever did something like that, I can't tell you how much it would help the student athletes go from junior high to high school. Because this is a big jump, right? You walk on campus, you got six or seven different classes. You're not sure where to go a lot of times. You haven't connected with the coaches. If you want to play a certain sport, you don't know where to go. Well, that conference took care of it. So, again, yeah, great, great event held by Tulare County Office of Ed. Also, yesterday, it was a really cool deal. I was asked by Central Valley Christian, again, another South Valley deal. I was asked by Central Valley Christian to talk about radio broadcasting. I was asked by Mike Harbath, the basketball coach there, and it was a good event. There were about 13 or 14 boys that were interested in sports broadcasting. I got to give a presentation on the do's and don'ts about sports broadcasting, and I had to show it. I showed the video of the poor kid in college, Ball State University. The boom goes the dynamite kid, right? And if you guys haven't seen that, just go ahead and Google that. You'll see the video. This kid, you know, he was in over his head, sports broadcasting. He was getting names wrong and getting some of the events out of order. It was an absolute disaster. The kid, he's recovered, and he's in sports broadcasting right now. But, you know, boom goes the dynamite is something that I showed the student athletes. We had a really good time. So thanks to Central Valley Christian for having me speak to their future sports broadcasters at their career day. I want to mention, too, the Final Four. All right, well, I got to talk about Caitlin Clark. If you don't know who that name is by now, then you haven't been on social media and watching SportsCenter for the last week or so. Because Caitlin Clark is an Iowa women's basketball player. They beat South Carolina yesterday. South Carolina won 42 games in a row. They were undefeated this year. They won the national championship last year. She scored 41 points. The game before against Louisville, she had the first ever 40-point triple-double in NCAA women's tournament history. She had 41 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. And I watched her yesterday score 41 again against South Carolina. If you haven't watched her, they're playing LSU Sunday at 12:30. You got to check that out, man. Social media world is absolutely buzzing about her for good reason. Excellent, excellent player. I had to mention that. And then again, the Final Four is today. I heard on the way coming here on ESPN Radio, they threw out a couple stats. Obviously, a lot of people's brackets got busted that first weekend, right? There were no perfect brackets. So ESPN had 2 million bracket entries. 2 million. Believe it or not, guys, there's 37 brackets that are still live, where they had all four of the Final Four teams. Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, man, look at those Aztecs, right? Fresno State only lost to them by two. Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, the 9 seed against the 5 seed, and Miami and UConn, the 5 seed against the 4 seed. So those games are starting at 3:09 today, and I think it's about 45 minutes after the first one ends. That second one's going to begin, it says 5:49 time. But out of 2 million, 37 right. So I did the math. I did the percentage. It is 0.000185% of the brackets got those final four teams. That is 100. So that is 185 hundred thousandths, right? You got to put that TH at the end. It's not thousands, thousandths for the percentage of teams or brackets that are still alive. Pretty, pretty awesome. I want to mention before we hit the break, too, congratulations to Ryan Watt of Sierra High School. He was named Cal High Sports Division V Coach of the Year. We know the great run that the Chieftains had this year, making it to the state championship game, those Road Warriors winning all those games up north. They just ran into a really good Linwood team that, in my opinion, is not a D5 team. So congrats to Ryan Watt being named Cal High Sport Division V Coach of the Year. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about the Fresno State Pro Day, about high school baseball, and all those good things that are going on here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Again, happy Saturday, everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. I want to mention, too, and I talk a lot about my teaching days, what's going on down there in South Valley. I'm a fifth grade teacher, coach junior high sports. That stuff's just really important to me. And, I'm involved with athletics myself. I coach and an athletic director. It's really neat to network. Talked about the event at Tulare County Office of Education. I was able to network with a lot of people, with a lot of athletic directors and coaches that brought their student athletes to that conference. And one guy I talked to was the head soccer coach at Lindsay. So he teaches junior high, but he's the head soccer coach at Lindsay. And we talked about playoffs and what works and what doesn't. He was the 2 seed in Division II. He had a really, really good season. And they got matched up against a 15 seed that was, predominantly a Division I team, San Luis Obispo. He said they played their best soccer game of the season in that playoff game and lost. So think about it. They were based D3, got bumped up to D2, and lost in the first round to a bigger school. But it was really neat to connect with a lot of people. I'm all about community and what that means to people. And that's when it comes down to it. It's the people that you hang out with and fellowship with that means the most. Then sports brings people together. For sure. And I think, I think when we're reminded of that, and there's politics involved and there's competition in sports, and there's a lot of noise out there, let's just say it that way. But when you get down to it, it's about community and fellowship and coming together. I mean, that's hopefully those types of themes come out in my interviews, and that stuff is just really, really important to me. So I want to thank 1430 ESPN for allowing me to share those types of stories with you guys, because I think that's the good stuff about sports. And I know Gabe Camarillo feels the same way and does an incredible job in his show, Home Field Advantage. You can listen to him on our station Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo _ does a fantastic job. And Gabe, you were able to go to the Buchanan and Clovis baseball game, man. That felt like a high-level, intense baseball game. A walk-off. It wasn't a walk-off, but it went to extra innings, and there was a big blast in the top of the inning for Clovis. Clovis prevails 6-3 against the Mighty Bears.
Yeah, it was definitely a rivalry game, and the Buchanan-Clovis rivalry is always fun to look at the history of some of the guys who have played in it, and a lot of the Valley Championships of the last decade has featured either a Buchanan Bears team or a Clovis Cougar team, and you can even argue that in the 2010s they were handing off the Valley Championship to each other for a time there, but it was definitely like the old days, like the Tom Donald versus James Patrick days when those teams used to compete for Valley Championships. It felt like that atmosphere at Buchanan Ballpark last night. You got JD Sales strolling the dugout for Clovis, and you got Brad Fonts, and it was two coaches maneuvering in the late innings because it was a close game. Talking about the last game of the series, let me give you some background, though, before we get too much into Game 3. Game 1 is taken by Buchanan, technically, right? It started on Tuesday. They postponed it. because of rain. They had to move it to Friday after three innings. So it picked up in the fourth inning yesterday, 3-3. Buchanan wins 6-4. Shout out to the Tools, Tyler and Colton for getting RBI singles, and Braden Gantz got the win. That was Buchanan taking game one. Clovis took game two yesterday at Lloyd Merriman Field. A very thorough victory for the Cougars. Their first win over Buchanan in 5 years. And so to look at Buchanan's dominance in this rivalry is important, so that way you realize how important Clovis's win was and how huge it is for Clovis to beat Buchanan. And they did it again last night in game three. It was 3-0 Clovis. Deegan Rose, only a freshman, already getting Power 5 offers in football as a quarterback. I'm sure he could play collegiate baseball somewhere as well. He had three RBIs on two hits. So those three RBIs gave Clovis a 3-0 lead. But you know Buchanan's lineup is going to get their runs, and they did eventually. JP Acosta, who's headed to Long Beach State for baseball, he had a two-run double. He was driven in by Drake Phillips. All of a sudden, after four, it's tied at three. And it stayed that way through the next three innings into extra innings. And that's when, and this is an interesting point in the game. So Eli Henderson got a double. I believe Barboa bunts foul and out. He basically pops up to the catcher with a bunt. So it's one out, runner on second, tied game, top of the eighth. Deegan Rose comes to the plate, and they walk the freshman. How many freshmen get walked intentionally in that situation? I don't blame Coach Fonts, because Deegan Rose has already had two hits and three runs batted in. He could have got a third hit and possibly scored the game-winning run. But they put Rose on to face John Caston, and John Caston made the Bears pay for it. John Caston hit a three-run home run into the left field trees, 6-3 Clovis. That was the difference in the ball game. And of course, I can't go any further without mentioning Logan Barboa. He went the full distance, all eight innings, struck out nine batters. A great performance all around for the Clovis Cougars. I think you can make the argument, Paul, that by taking this series against Buchanan and beating Clovis West earlier this month, or I guess last month, since we're already in April, Clovis is a team to beat in the track. What do you think?
I mean, a lot of talk, right, about Clovis this year, Coach J.D. Sales taking over the program. Last year they were very young, and the year before as well. And again, they got some freshmen and some young guys contributing too, but they don't play like freshmen, that's for sure. So I think you can definitely talk about Clovis being one of the top teams in the Central section. Let me go over the standings really quick. Actually, let me go back to – there we go. There's the scores from yesterday. So we mentioned Clovis beat Buchanan 6-3. Also, Clovis East beat Clovis North 7-3, talking about the track play. And then Clovis West, they keep winning. They beat Central 7-2. So the way the standings stack up right now in the Tri-River Athletic Conference, Clovis West is at 5-1, Clovis at 4-2, Buchanan 3-2, Clovis East is 3-2, Central 2-4, and Clovis North is 0-6. But Gabe, if you look at the overall record, you see 8-5, 8-5-1, 7-6, 6-8, 6-8, and 5-10. It just shows the parity and how even the track is.
Yes, and I expect the Clovis-Clovis West series to be intense and to be as close as this Buchanan-Clovis series was. I think, no disrespect to Central or East or maybe North, I think Central definitely can beat anyone in the track. They proved it by beating West and Clovis once, but when you're looking at the top of the track, it might be Buchanan-Clovis-Clovis West, and you could see a potential scenario where Clovis beats Buchanan, Buchanan beats West, and West could beat Clovis. I would not be surprised to see that because, as you mentioned, Paul, there's a lot of parity. There's no real front runner, but I do think right now you have to say Clovis is the team to beat because they're 5-2 against track opponents. They may be 4-2 in track play, but they're 5-2 because they do have that head-to-head win over Clovis West.
And after spring break and Fresno Easter Classic and the different tournaments that the teams are playing in, so looking at Clovis West right now as far as their schedule goes, so they play Buchanan the week of the 24th. That looks like that's a Monday, so they play Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Remember, the track plays three games a week, which to me is still pretty crazy. And then Clovis West and Clovis May 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. So, yeah, I think it's still anybody's league. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. And then, Gabe, if we switch to the C-MAC really quick, how about those Madera Coyotes, man, sitting atop at 4-0. Bullard is also 4-0. You have Edison at 2-2, Sanger at 1-3. And then, wow, what a surprise. San Joaquin Memorial, 0-3 right now in the C-MAC, and Justin Garza also at 0-3. But, man, what about Madera?
I need to see Madera play Bullard. I mean, can they be legit CMAC champion threats? I think they need to give Bullard some close games for us to say that, because Bullard's been so good all year long. You have to consider them the de facto CMAC favorites. Madera's had a very strong season, and they've played some of the best teams in the Valley close. They've played Bakersfield Christian close. They almost beat Frontier is what I was trying to say. So they've had some good games against some of Bakersfield's best and some of our best here in Fresno. But how do they do against Bullard? I think that's going to be what defines who wins the CMAC.
Yeah, Coach Underwood's doing a fantastic job as always. So they play Bullard on Tuesday the 25th, and then Friday the 25th. So it starts with home, and then it ends away. And again, looking up Bullard's Twitter account, and I've been to a few games this year, that field at Bullard is in immaculate shape. It is a beautiful, beautiful field right now, and there's going to be games this week there at the Fresno Easter Classic. Looking forward to talking to Jason Pappy about all those games. Gabe, got a few minutes here, but I definitely want to ask you about Fresno State's Pro Day. I know you had Perales on your show a couple days ago, able to talk to him. You know, Hayner threw the ball. What stood out to you at that event? I mean, it was just really neat to see all the pro scouts there. I mean, it was truly an event, wasn't it?
It really was, and it was cool to see all the former Bulldogs as well. I would say a couple highlights. Tulare Western grad LJ Early ran the fastest 40-yard dash, and for a safety to run a 4.45, I think that is going to definitely put his name on a couple draft boards if they weren't there already. You had also Zane Pope. I know not a local product, but someone who has had several key moments for Fresno State throughout his career. He had a good day overall, I would say. A second highest vertical leap with 34 inches right behind Nico Remigio. He had the second fastest 40-yard dash, faster than Nico Remigio at 4.55. And he also had him bench just as much as the two leading bench press results, guys. And that would be David Perales with 22 and Raymond Powells with 23. Zane Pope had 21. I mean, he was right there behind a defensive end and a tight end. So as far as the receiver is concerned, Zane Pope is physical. He's shown that he's fast, and he's shown that he's athletic enough to get up and catch any 50-50 balls with his vertical leap and also with his film. I think he's a guy that you could see easily on an NFL roster if he's not drafted.
Yeah, and I saw a clip of Jake Hayner rolling out to his left and throwing off balance a couple 50-yard bombs in the air. How did Jake look?
Jake looked really strong. He didn't do any of the on-field workouts except the actual throwing session, but that got a lot of eyes, obviously. You had the Raiders offensive coordinator, Mick Lombardi, in the stadium, several NFL scouts who can just tell by, you know, their team apparel, Dolphins, Cowboys, Chargers, everyone was there to see Jake Hayner and all the other Bulldogs. But you're right, Hayner definitely did light it up. He had the last throw of his session, 50 yards, as you mentioned, against the grain to Jalen Cropper in Cropper's breadbasket. And I asked Cropper after Pro Day, you know, that might have been the last catch you ever get from Jake Hayner. And he said, I hope not. Hopefully we're drafted by the same team, and hopefully we can do Derek and Devontae part two. And I know Bulldog fans would not mind that one bit.
Yeah, it's fun to follow these guys and see where their draft stock is and look at the projections. And yeah, that's all really good stuff. Okay, Gabe, I want to ask you, all right, spring break next week, right? You got any plans? You got anything going on?
Watching high school baseball, Fresno Easter Classic. Buchanan and Redwood at Fresno Pacific on Wednesday catches my eye. Redwood could throw their Stanford commit, Joey Volchko, who a lot of people think is the hardest thrower in the Valley. I have seen some of his film, and I've heard that he's thrown, up to 95 miles an hour. Him against Buchanan's lineup is very intriguing. There's a lot of out-of-town teams as well in this Fresno Easter Classic, and I know you're going to talk about it in an hour with Jason Pappy, but to be able to have teams from all over the state come to the Valley and play at several stadiums around our town, I think that's an opportunity to watch high school baseball that people should take advantage of, because it's not always there, right? You know, you have this only one time a year, and it's 3 days out of the year, the best high school baseball, I think, in the Valley, because you have teams from everywhere in the state.
No, I agree. In the state and a few out of the state, I believe there's a team from Washington that's coming to the Fresno Easter Classic.
Yes.
And they say what we already know, Gabe, but sometimes I think we take it for granted. But the stadiums around the Central Valley are in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. I know the teams are really impressed by that. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fun baseball to watch. And I have a feeling you and I are going to run into each other sometime this week during our spring break game.
There's also other tournaments out there I want to give some love to, like the Tulare Pro PT. I mean, there's a lot of spring break tournaments. So if you are a Tulare Western fan, if you're a South Valley fan, you know, check your schedule, check with your coaches, see which tournament they're in. The Easter Classic definitely is fun, and I said it's the best, you know, 3 days out of the high school baseball year, but that doesn't mean it's the only tournament next week. Go catch some high school baseball if you can next weekend.
And we're going to be talking with Bill Fever of the Fowler Easter Classic at the top of the hour as well. So good job by you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. Talking to Houston and Holden Hirschkorn coming up after the break. Kingsburg High Baseball Stars here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. Bottom of hour number one, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. All right, Houston and Holden Hirschkorn, Kingsburg Baseball. I could add football to that now, too, right? They're juniors. The team right now is 12-2. Talking about the baseball team, they play today. They play Lemoore today at 4 o'clock. Where is the game? Where's the game at today?
It's at Fowler High.
It's at Fowler High. So Holden right now is hitting 524. Yes, that's not a misprint. And Houston's hitting 442. All right, guys. So first of all, you guys live in Kingsburg, obviously. Drive up here to First String Sports. This morning, what did this morning look like? What time did you guys get up in the morning? What do you guys eat for breakfast? What's normal on a day like this?
I think I woke up at like 8, and then I had my usual protein waffles and carrots and a glass of milk, and then came up here.
Okay.
I woke up, I think like 9. I didn't even eat anything. I just got in the shower and dressed.
Is that normal for you? Is that a normal breakfast? You said carrots, right? I didn't mishear that.
Yeah.
You said carrots?
Yeah, I usually try to keep my vegetables in. I like to, since freshman year, I've been on a pretty good diet. And I've tried not to stay off of that, so it's been good.
Cooked or raw carrots? You cutting those things up?
Yeah. Yep.
You're doing it yourself? Mom's not helping you?
No, mom's not helping.
All right. So Coach Cranford, your baseball coach, and I texted him about you guys coming on the show. They, you know, I said, around 10:30. I have to bring her on a little after 10:30. And Coach says, well, if those guys are on time, that means they're late.
Right? Yeah, so that's his.
You guys showed up. So what does that really mean? I mean, what does that mean that if you are on time, that means you're late?
Usually, that's kind of how it goes at practice. Like if we show up to practice on time, you're late in coach's eyes, and you know, we kind of teaches you a good lesson. Like you always want to be early to anything. You know, kind of shows a sign of respect and. Coach definitely takes that seriously. So,
well, when you hear coaches talk about their players and they say, "Oh, first one to be there, last one to leave,"
right?
That means something. It says a lot about your character and your dedication to the game. All right, so hold on. I want to ask you for people out there, what position are you playing? Where are you hitting in the lineup right now?
Right now, I'm hitting leadoff and I'm playing in the outfield.
Playing outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Houston.
I hit cleanup and I've been playing short and pitching a little bit. So. Yeah, it's been fun.
You're pitching a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to the beginning. You guys are a baseball family or an athletic family. Your dad is the head baseball coach at Fresno Pacific University. So obviously you guys are twins and identical twins. What's your first memories of baseball?
Honestly, just being in the backyard together, even with our little brother, just – putting on the helmet backwards because we didn't know how and trying to figure out how to hit the ball off the tee with our dad and then trying to play catch, all little things, and then going out and playing t-ball. That's what I remember.
Are there pictures of you guys when you were born in any type of baseball uniform or little onesies with the team or in the crib with the baseball bat?
Yeah, there's plenty of those like classic ones. I think they're probably our favorite one is one where we're all three of us are in the backyard, and I think that I have a helmet on and our little brother Jensen has a football helmet on because we didn't have a catcher's mask, so that's what he used for a catcher's mask. And I think maybe he had his helmet on backward. It was pretty. Yeah, that's a classic picture.
It's a classic picture.
Yeah,
it's probably one that's gonna show up in the yearbook when you guys are seniors.
Yeah, right. Probably.
You mentioned your brother Jensen, who's a freshman.
Yeah.
But he's not so little. You have to call him your little brother because he's younger than you.
Right. Yes.
But
way taller.
He's way taller.
Mm-hmm.
So when did he pass you up? in height, because he's a freshman, 6'5", was on the Valley Championship basketball team, tore it up in the championship game. But what do you remember when he passed you up in height?
I think he passed me around last year. I think he got like 5'11", 6 foot, and then this last summer he kind of just shot up like crazy, and then he just hasn't stopped.
Maybe he's eating your carrots.
Maybe.
Drinking a lot of milk, too.
Yeah, Zach, drinking the milk.
Yeah.
Growing up, did you guys fight a lot? Were you guys encourage each other? I'm sure, you know, you guys had your times of scuffling a little bit. But right. What was your relationship, you know, growing up when you guys were younger as far as that?
Growing up, we would fight quite a bit. We would kind of just be annoying to each other more than anything. We wouldn't fist fight a whole lot or anything, but – I think that as we've gotten older and the more stuff we've been through together, we've realized that we're each other's best friends. And so we've encouraged each other through a lot of stuff. And, now we're just each other's number one supporters.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So you guys played baseball, right? What was it called? KYBL baseball.
Yeah. Right.
Together. You guys won a big national championship. Was it 12U?
Yeah.
Yes, Cowher Up Pinball Series, yeah, in Alabama.
Talk about that experience.
That was one of the cooler baseball experiences I've ever had. Honestly, not just baseball, because the Alabama-Georgia area is awesome in Phoenix City. But we had a really good team. Super, super, super talented. And we had obviously grown up playing together in a small town. And we were really close, and I think we just got hot at the right time, and we were good, and yeah. We beat some really, 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 really good Florida teams that were very talented, and I think had won the last two or three. But yeah, it was super, super, super fun, and it was a really good time.
Good. Was it a case, too, where, let's say you're playing these Florida teams and they looked at you guys and are like, who's this team from Kingsburg, right?
Right.
Or they, like, you feel like they didn't respect you guys, or like, hey, we know we're a good team.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think I remember when we got there, there was this talk about the Florida team because they had won the last World Series and stuff. I think that, honestly, when we went, we wanted to win, but we kind of had no real expectation because we didn't know what we were really getting into. But we went in there and we just played and had fun. Like we were a really close group of boys, and you know, even getting to play high school with these guys from that team, a lot of those guys are still playing in a high school team, like Garrett Perkins and Bodie Verners and those guys. Growing up with those guys and then still playing with them, it's been a lot of fun, and having those memories with those guys is that was a fun experience for sure.
And I think you guys are seeing the fruits of all of the labor, right, of those teams and the success that you guys are having so far. Talking right. with Houston and Holden Hirschkorn from Kingsburg High. So your dad Oscar, as I mentioned, is the head coach at Fresno Pacific. He's been the only coach at Fresno Pacific right, yeah. University. You know, at times, it's probably been a little bit difficult, you know, maybe some high expectations for you guys. You know, hey, if you are the sons of a coach, you're expected to be at a certain level. How have you guys risen above that? Are you just like, hey, we just play the game? Or has there been any lessons that your mom and dad has really instilled with you guys?
You know, being the sons of a coach has actually been a real blessing, because we obviously, he knows the game better than most people, and he's taught us real well. And honestly, it's not, you don't really think about it too much, and you just play, you don't really think about it, and then you use the lessons that mom and dad taught us about be respectful, have good sportsmanship, all that stuff, and work hard, and it'll all work out.
I'm sure there's been targets on your back, and pitchers right. are wanting to get you guys out. They say, yeah, I got the Hirschkorn twins out. Right. But, you know, I got to ask you guys this, though, too. Who's the better athlete, mom or dad? So you got to be really, really careful yeah. with this answer here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't want to hurt any feelings. I think I'd probably say the better athlete would be mom, just because – she played, which both of our parents played college athletics, but our mom was a volleyball player at Fresno Pacific, and from stories, and we've heard that she could really jump. So
volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we. I don't know. I haven't seen that out of her yet, but I trust my sources that she could jump and she right. could run pretty she fast. So it. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean that's a perfect answer. You yeah. all whenever I bring up that type of question, you guys always got to go with mom.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Always got to yeah. go with mom on that one. Yeah. All right. Very very good answer. So football though too. So did you guys decide? So Holden, you're coming off a Tommy John.
Yeah.
Right. So you weren't able to play football. What's your situation like right now with that?
Right now, I'm just playing in the outfield and I'm throwing basically every other day, but when we have back-to-back games, I'm throwing both. But I'm not pitching until probably summer.
Okay.
And then, just playing in the outfield and then hitting my cut, throwing through them, and then not really trying to throw the ball super hard right now until I get more clearance to do so, obviously. But, yeah, football, didn't play because I had just had surgery, and it's a long recovery. I think I probably could have at the end, but I just chose not to. I don't want to risk anything. But yeah, looking forward to this football season. It's going to be
so
real
you are going to you are going to
yeah,
play
football,
play football next
this season.
Year.
Yeah,
all right, and then Houston football.
Yeah,
right. Went out this year. So you did not play the last 2 years. Am I right on that?
Yeah. So we didn't play freshman year, and then sophomore year we both came out late. But I had an injury, so I didn't play sophomore year, but he did. And then last year kind of switched. He had his injury, and I got to play. So, last year was a lot of fun. I enjoyed myself a lot. Coach Wilson is the best, man. He he's a lot of fun out there at practice, and you've seen it. You came out to a couple practices, and it's just playing on the football team is just a different experience, man. It's so much fun. It's kind of hard to put into words, but. Kind of, especially in a town like Kingsburg, it's a unique town, and everybody rallies behind the football team, especially, and it's just a lot of fun. I that's probably the best way I could explain it. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's nothing like Friday right. Night Lights talking to Holden and Holden and Houston Hirschhorn. I want to go back a tiny bit. So obviously, right? Your names are from start with an H. Your last name starts with an H.
Right.
Did you guys ever do any type of a switcheroo? Growing up, did you fake out any teachers, or did teachers ever mix you guys up? You guys always have the same class growing up as well? You had the same teacher?
Actually, our parents chose to try to keep us apart in classes so we can, form our own opinions and have that type of thing. But, no, we never really tried to mix anybody up. We didn't look that much alike to do that. I think my dad and his twin did. But, we never try to do anything. But, yeah, people get us mixed up a lot. I think it's more the names than the looks than anything, though.
So, yeah. I agree. Well, you got the blonde hair going on right now. So now easily tell the difference.
Apart,
yeah, for sure. I want to talk about Kingsburg High a little bit more. And so before you guys got to Kingsburg High, your freshman year, Kingsburg High baseball was down.
Yeah.
Right. I think the COVID year, they were 1-10. The year before that, only won maybe 10 games or so.
Right.
So you talk about also playing with that 12U team, and you wanted to stay with your guys, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So why is that important to you? Why is the name Kingsburg across your chest so important, for you guys?
Kingsburg's a different town. I think that it's easy to say that, especially in a town that you live in, so there's a little bias to it. But you go kind of outside of Kingsburg, and there's this – you kind of realize how special and how blessed we are to live in a town like Kingsburg. And we kind of knew, too, that the classes around us were pretty athletic, and we had a good chance to be good in sports. And so we wanted to stay in Kingsburg and, kind of felt like we had something to prove, not just us, but the group of guys around us, and prove that we could turn things around in Kingsburg and be good again. And I think the stuff that the group of us have done is, and with the help of Coach Cranford and our whole coaching staff in the community, like it's been awesome, and it's honestly, it's been so much fun, and going to work every day with those group of guys, and working really hard every day, and with a chip on our shoulder, and it's, and then going and playing those teams and like Clovis and Clovis West, it's really felt like we had something to prove, but we also knew that we could compete with those guys. So
yeah. What does Kingsburg mean to you?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, growing up and playing with those guys has been a really cool experience, and then obviously coming into high school and still having the same guys that you've, I mean, just lived your grown up your whole life with, and then and having those experience with those guys, and then actually being really good, has been something really, really, really cool to experience. And then, like Houston said, beating teams like Clovis and Clovis West, who are always awesome. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and I think that opened the eyes up to a lot of people around the Central Section, right?
Yeah.
We knew the success that the football team had. We talked about them a lot on the radio. But, hey, you know, I talked to Coach Cranford during basketball season when I watched the basketball game against Emmanuel. Coach Cranford's like, hey, we're doing the Coca-Cola Classic, all right? Mm-hmm. We want to be thrown in with the big boys. We got a team, and we're going to show it. And sure enough, you guys beat Clovis West. Okay, cool, mm-hmm. Awesome. And then you make it to the championship and beat Clovis High. And I'm sure that was an incredible experience, something you guys will remember for mm-hmm. the rest of your lives. But do you feel like even during that game, those games – like people are like, hey, yeah, Kingsburg is legit. Did you kind of feel that around in the air? Like, oh, yeah, Kingsburg definitely belongs one of the top teams in the Central Section.
Yeah, for sure. I think that kind of the thing that – because we lost the first game to Clovis 8-1, and I think that we were – the guys were kind of like, man, we really want to prove that we're good. And I think that we just put a whole lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think after that game, we kind of just shut everything out. We really focused on ourselves, and we just went out and played baseball, and we were like, we know we're good. You know, we don't need to prove to anybody that we're good. If we just play well and we play like we know we can play, everybody will know that we're good. And I think that once we started doing that, obviously it showed in the Clovis West and Clovis game, and even beating a team like Tulare Western, who's talented. And, it was really – really, really fun experience, and we felt like we proved a lot from that.
No, I agree. And was there a play that happened in the game, or a hit, or maybe it was something a coach or another player said to you guys that stands out?
I think the Clovis West game, when I don't remember what the exact situation was, but it was late in the game. And I think there was a runner on second, and he made a double play, caught a line drive, and tagged second, made a double play, and kind of turned the momentum. And from there on, we never looked back. I mean, it was – you played with our hair on fire. After that, it was awesome. I mean, it was a great play. And then, I mean, it kind of turned the bats on a little bit to the last two innings, and then we carried it into Clovis and Tulare Western, and we just haven't looked back since. Our bats have been good.
How'd you guys celebrate after that win? Did you guys go get something to eat? What did you guys do?
We went with our grandparents to get canes after the game. Yeah, so it was a really rainy day, so I think everybody kind of wanted to go home after that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We only got a couple minutes here, guys. This has been fantastic talking to Houston and Holden Hirschkorn of Kingsburg High. What's your favorite Major League Baseball team, guys? You guys Giants guys? What are you?
I'm a Cubs fan. I've been a Cubs fan since, like, I was probably 11, I think, 10 or 11, I would say.
It wasn't that long ago. How old are you now?
I was
– You're 17.
I'm 17.
Yeah, so like six, seven years.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
When they won the World Series? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Because I remember I had made a bet with one of my friends that they would win the World Series, and it was the year before they won the World Series. And so, since then, I had been rooting for them, and I have just kind of been a fan ever since. And now they have Dansby Swanson, and he's probably my favorite player.
And you play shortstop. Right. Yeah. What do you got?
You know what? Right now, I probably don't really have a favorite team. I kind of grew up kind of a Yankees fan, but I think it was just because it was my first hat. I kind of fell off that train, and then I kind of gave up on them because I keep losing to the Astros.
Gosh.
But right now I'm just rooting for good baseball. Hey. And the rule changes seem like they've brought a lot more fans, and it's been good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think the changes are good. All right, we only got about a minute here, guys. I know you committed early to St. Mary's. You guys decommitted. You guys can say whatever you want. I mean, is your open recruitment? Obviously, you could go to Fresno Pacific, of course, but you guys are, in my eyes, a D1 guys. What does recruitment look like? How are you guys taking that?
Right now, just open to anything. Kind of just trying to earn, like, see what we can earn. And, you know, we've kind of had a little talk here and there, but nothing too big right now. So, but we'll see. This summer should be pretty big, and we're looking to have a big summer, hopefully. So,
yeah, this summer is going to be big for us. But right now, yeah, just open to anything, like Houston said, and we're just looking to try to earn what we can get
and get healthy
and get healthy.
Get that arm,
and
get that
healthy
arm healthy
for the summer. Yeah.
Again, you guys are your juniors. You guys are playing today, Lemoore at Fowler High. Holden and Houston, it's been a pleasure. Again, I've heard about you guys and, you know, through the grapevine and talking with my fellow teachers who are involved in Kingsburg High Sports or Kingsburg Youth Sports for all these years. But it's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. That was Holden and Houston Kirschkorn of Kingsburg High. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Coach Bill Fever of Fowler High about their Easter Classic that the Kingsburg boys are playing today at 4:00. They're playing Lemoore. Talking with Bill Fever coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report. Here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Just had a great conversation with Houston and Holden Hirschkorn of Kingsburg High. I mean, those guys are, they're only juniors, but they are men. They're well-spoken. See, their father is the head baseball coach at Fresno Pacific University. Just really good baseball players. They're playing today, talking about his Kingsburg Vikings at Fowler. We're playing Lemoore, part of the Fowler Easter Classic. And right now we're going to be talking with Bill Fever, the head baseball coach at Fowler. Won his 500th game in an 11-2 after an 11-2 win over Carruthers last Thursday. He has 6 Central Section titles, 14 league titles. In league play, his Fowler Red Cats are 212-35 since he started coaching in 1999. The team is currently 9-2. Start of the Easter Classic, or the Easter Classic is going on right now. Bill, welcome to the show. A hearty congrats to you on that 500th win, and this is going to be a great week of baseball. But thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, it was great to listen to the Hirschkorns right before this. And, I mean, those are great kids. I've known them since they were young, and happy to see how successful they are. A great family.
And it looks like a beautiful day for baseball. The Easter Classic is in full bloom right now. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff in the next 20 minutes or so, but I want you to talk about your tournament schedule-wise. Are all the games on one field? What does that all look like for the next couple of days?
Yeah, we got we actually started last Saturday. We played 4 varsity games last Saturday with 3 JV games because we got a JV component to the tournament as well. We got 4 games today, 4 games Monday, and 4 games Tuesday. So it's a lot of good baseball. I feel like all the teams in it this year are solid. I mean, this is the most competitive a tournament's been in a while. There's a number of D1 kids that are in this thing, and a lot of kids are, you know, JC level ball players. So there's some quality guys in this tournament this year.
And we're going to be talking with Jason Pappy at the bottom of the hour about his Fresno Easter Classic. And, I mean, it's an event. And I want to ask you, what goes into getting all these teams? You have a lot of repeat teams. How many total teams are in the tournament? How many hours do you put into this great event?
Oh, it's a lot of work by a lot of people. We have 8 teams. And there are a number of teams that have been in it for the long haul. We're actually, this tournament's been going on for a long time. It's been going on since 1985. And the funny thing about that story is that it started the year after I graduated. And the reason that this tournament even started is we went over to the coast for a tournament. And I won't say where it was, but the bottom line is we went over and we beat the host team. And that tournament, the loser's bracket went to somewhere else. The winner's bracket stayed where we were. Well, once the host team was gone to the loser's bracket site, we were left with Rakes and the Chalker, and hey, go to it. This is your home field now. And my coach didn't like that too much. So when we got done, he said, we're going to start our own tournament. So that was the beginning of the Fowler Easter Classic in 1985.
Oh, that's awesome. And so it's pool play. It's not a traditional bracket tournament.
Right. We have two pools, and like I say, the top two teams will play each other at the end, and then everybody else will match up. There's not a third place and a fifth place and whatnot. We just try to make sure we get good competitive games for the rest of the tournament and try to not, you know, play teams that happen to be in the same league, have them play each other, or teams that have played each other already, they're not going to play against each other. So that's how we'll go with that. So, yeah, we're hoping to have a big game tonight. We got a tough one. We got Washington Union tonight, and it's going to be a packed house, I'm sure. I mean, there'll probably be 1,000 people here, and it's going to be a big deal.
So we have Lemoore and Kingsbrook at 4, and then your game is going to be at 6, is that right, or 7?
We're at 7.
You're at 7 o'clock. And you utilize the JV field and the varsity field as well?
We don't use the JV field. JV field is only being used for JV games. That's why we added the extra Saturday so that we don't have to do that. There's 4 games a day on the varsity field, and we play at 10, 1, 4, and 7.
Got it. So talking to Bill Fever, the head baseball coach at Fowler High School, let's go back to that incredible moment on Thursday, 500 wins. What does 500 wins mean to you?
Wow, yeah, it's a blessing, first of all. I mean, you can't do that without the blessings that were bestowed on our program, on all of us. It's something we don't take lightly. It's a lot of hard work and dedication by a lot of people. It's a lot of great coaches that have coached with me over the years. It's a lot of great players that have played here, and a lot of great supporters and boosters, and my family, my wife, my kids, just the support of, you know, all of my family for all the ton of work that it goes into it. I mean, we work all summer and all fall. We're in the weight room all summer playing games, in the weight room in the fall we're playing games. It never stops. You know, we're going all year, and it's what we have to do. It's what we have to do to play this kind of schedule that I carve out for ourselves, because we're going to always play up whenever possible.
So what did you do after the game? How did you guys celebrate? Did you go get a bite to eat? How were you able to celebrate with your family and friends and coaching staff?
To be honest, we went home and ate dinner with the family, and we kind of just hung out, and it was no major deal. We did go out to dinner last night, and but that night it was just kind of get home and just the normal deal, kind of start gearing up for getting ready for Saturday. I mean, it's a huge game today.
In the Fever family, I know the life of a coach is interesting, right? You take those moments, those opportunities that you can with your family, and you know, if you got a time that you can all sit down at a table and eat, you definitely take advantage of that. So after 500 wins, eating with your family, man, there's nothing better than that. And I know that the community of Fowler is a special community. It's a one school town that we love, like Kingsburg and Selma and Dinuba. We love those schools. You're an alum of the school. Describe what makes the community of Fowler a special place to coach and to teach and to live.
Well, it's an interesting story, and you know, we've talked about it years back, and it's probably worth talking about again. But it's an interesting deal with our program. It's a community that loves baseball. But the really, 1980 is when I could say that this program, as you know it now, began. Prior to that, there were a lot of good teams and a lot of good players and whatnot, but to have a real program, it started in 1980 when, one of Bob Bennett's assistants, Keith Snyder, came to Fowler, and he needed some head coaching experience to move on, and so he went from Fresno State assistant to coaching at Fowler High School. He coached here for 1 year, and then he went to UOP, which isn't that the norm to go from D5 high school to Division I college? But he came to Fowler, and he brought the Fresno State playbook to Fowler and basically took the Fresno State name off it, put the Fowler name on there, and that became who we were. And at the time, obviously, Fresno State was big-time baseball, and, they're playing all the top teams in the country and just highly ranked and whatnot. And, as kids and whatnot, we always went to Fresno State games and watched these guys. So to have him come to Fowler brought so much excitement to this community, and all of a sudden, it just caught fire, and all of a sudden the field got renovated, and the batting tunnels went up, the lights went up, and the snack bar and the press box, the whole bit, and all of a sudden this thing evolved, which, it's kind of like Texas football. As all of a sudden, it's just a packed house every night, and all kinds of people are here. And like I say, he was only here for that 1 year, and then Gilbert Uriarte, who was my coach in high school, he was a JV coach. And when Coach Snyder left, Coach Uriarte moved up, and that's when I played under him. And Coach Dan Wild was the JV coach. And as soon as Coach Uriarte left, Coach Wild moved up, and I became the head JV coach. And then after Coach Wild left, I moved up. And here we are 25 years later, and that's the system of Fowler is probably about 90 to 95% the same as it was back in 1980. We do what we do. We do, what was instilled in us way back when, and through Bob Bennett's Fresno State baseball program, the sprinting on and off the field, making sure your uniform's worn correctly, not talking to the other team or the umpires, just, playing hard and competing. And we do most everything the same way now as we did way back when. And that's kind of just the story of the history of Fowler baseball. And it's just, like I say, there are plenty of evenings, big tournament games where there'll be 1,000 people and you get the right playoff matchup. And it can be huge out there. It's standing room only. So it's a really cool experience that the whole town, supports and comes out to.
And I can certainly attest to that. I played at Emmanuel, and I coached there as well. Coming as a player to play at Fowler, it was a different level. I mean, you walk into the field, it's in gorgeous shape. The dugouts are immaculate, the bleachers, and it just feels different there. And I know it's definitely next-level baseball there at Fowler. I want you to describe – you're at the baseball field right now, aren't you, Coach?
I did. I stepped in. I was thinking about, trying to do this thing out there while watching my JV team and watching Fireball, who we play on Monday. I was going to try to do all that at once, but I thought, I don't know how good I am at multitasking. I better come inside where I can chat with you for a little bit.
But what does – describe what the field looks like there for the people that have not been to a Fowler baseball game. What does the field look like?
Well, it's well taken care of. We have a really good grounds crew. Andy Franco is one of the head guys on that grounds crew, and he was out here yesterday. He put a different design on the outfield grass than usual. Wanted to make sure it was at a different level for the tournament. But again, it's a quality field that plays really well. It looks nice. Like I say, the grounds do a nice job with it, but also we make the kids work like crazy. We were out there a long time yesterday after practice, making sure to try to get everything just right. Even the aspects, little aspects, every corner of the bullpen, make sure it's all taken care of that nobody else notices. But I make sure those guys paid attention to detail in prepping it and getting ready for this tournament.
Well, when I think of Fowler Sports, my mind definitely goes to baseball, and you've coached some incredible teams over the years. Looking back at your records, the 06 and 07 and 08, you guys won three straight Valley Championships, combined record of 88 and 12. When you think about those great teams, what pops into your mind?
Oh man, it was those were good times, great kids. But what I will say is you know, we were 88-12, and there were a lot of dogfights in that whole deal. So it wasn't like we were just rolling through and we were just better than everybody else. Because the bottom line, if somebody's on my non-conference schedule or in my tournaments, I see them as good or better than us, and that's who we're going to play. You'll never see me schedule a game against a lesser team to try to get a win. I want to challenge our kids, because if they're going to go on and play in college, they need to play against the highest level competition that we can get on our schedule. And even just if you're not going to go on and play in college, if just going on in life, you know, you need to be challenged throughout this upbringing, you know, process for them to be successful in life later as challenges come on. So, like I say, what I'm most proud of out of all of that stuff is just the tough schedule that we played during that time. I mean, when that group was coming, our league realigned, and so we had some opportunities to bring in some teams. And so I just thought to myself, okay, I want to try to get the best D1, best D2, and the best D3 team on that schedule that I could find. So I kind of went to, back in the day, it was Cal Preps or whatever it was, I kind of started at the top and went, okay, number one, Valley Christian out of San Jose. Okay, I'm calling them. You know, yeah. That's kind of where I did. I started, I went down the line until we got to Buhat Colony, and they're the first team that said, yeah, we'll play you. And holy cow, were they good.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 5 90-mile-an-hour guys, like legit, like not guys that touch 90, but, you know, gee whiz, you know, Floro's still in the big leagues, and Mooney Hammond, those guys. It was an unbelievable team, but that was the first team, that big school, that took a chance on playing us, and we had a nice relationship with them for several years. We played them at Chuck Chansey one year, and what a great battle that was there. And yeah, just fun times. And like I say, finding teams like Carmel to come and play, and just some of the really high level, you know, D2 and 3 teams that we were able to play during that run. So again, that was there was nothing easy about a lot of those teams. Which actually, one thing I will say about that, the 07, that was when we were 33-2, and we had 13 games that we were either tied or behind in the sixth inning, and we won 11 of them.
Wow.
That was just a gutty team. I mean, we had some talented kids. There's no doubt we had some talented kids, but the teams we were playing were really good, and boy, we gutted out some wins. We had some wins with, you know, bases loaded in the last inning, up by a run, and we turn a two ball to end the game. I mean, that happened on some occasions. So again, it wasn't like we were just rolling through everybody, because again, the schedule we carved out for him was as tough as I could make it.
Talking with Bill Fever, the head baseball coach at Fowler. Were those games, Coach, were those championship games played at neutral sites, or were they played all at your place?
They were at our place. So
I bet the crowd was just electric, and the celebrations were memorable.
There is no doubt about that. There was amazing games and just tough battles and packed houses. It was just, like I say, we'd transform our batting tunnel into, we have chairs in there, bringing in new extra stands and the whole bit, and there was just standing room only, people all over the hill of the football stadium watching. It was electric for sure.
And Coach, you mentioned earlier Dan Wilde, and you know, everybody in the baseball community knows who Dan Wilde was. A beloved longtime Fowler coach passed away on April 16th of 2021 at the age of 65. You took over for Dan. You know, just an incredible guy. His sons were great athletes as well. You were able to spend some time with him in the last part of his life as well. You were able to reconnect with him, and he was able to be on the baseball field a lot in his last days. How can you put into words what Dan Wilde meant to you and the community of Fowler?
What a great role model and great human being. I was blessed to have worked with him for a lot of years, because all the years that I was the JV head coach for those 8 years, And then I, 3 years in between there, I was assisting with him. But I was still assisting when I was the head JV coach. I'd coach my game. As soon as that was over, I'd come up and coach in the next game. And it was, you know, Jim Cranford and I and Coach Wild. So it, we were, you know, we coached together. I was with those guys. And you know, again, he was a great mentor on so many levels, you know, not just baseball, but just life in general. And, you know, what a godly man he was. And so just to be around him was awesome. And to coach with, you know, Coach Cranford, who's, again, one of the top coaches in the Valley. I've been around some great guys. And even kind of going back, you know, being around Coach Snyder as a player and Coach Uriarte as a player, I mean, I gained just great wisdom, for, I don't know if wisdom or not, but just great experiences from all of them. I learned from them. And you know, when Coach Uriarte was here, we played anybody. I mean, we played Clovis and Bullard back in that era when they were the top, you know, because that was just a mentality that, you know, I learned as a young age. Hey, we want to play anybody. We'll play any team. That's what I always admired about Pat Hill. I scheduled just like he did. Hey, we'll play anybody. That was just what our mentality was, because that's the only way you get kids to work hard every single day. If they know they have a big opponent coming up, they're going to get after it. And that's just how I schedule. So that's probably one of the most things that I find I'm so pleased with what we've been able to accomplish here is just what a tough schedule we played in this whole grind of getting to 500.
Yeah, it's been an amazing run, Coach. And I'd be remiss, we only have a few minutes here, if I were to ask you about this year's team. You guys are currently 9-2, you know, especially coming out of COVID, that strange year. But your program is humming along again. But talk about your team this year, and who are some of the star players that you have, guys that you want to mention?
Well, it's an interesting year because we're actually quite young. You know, on a typical day, we start a freshman and five sophomores and three seniors. And a lot of those sophomores got a lot of innings last year. They started as freshmen. They've been around. And physically, we don't look like we're as young as we are, but we are young. But we are getting better. I just feel like, you know, every day we're getting a little bit better. And that's kind of our goal, is just each day keep chipping away and getting better. And again, it's just it's a team effort, and different guys step up on different days. I really like what we got with this group. I think we're going to continue to improve. We've been swinging the bat pretty well recently, and pitching's been good. I mean, if you want to talk about a few guys, I mean, right now, Peyton Garcia has really stepped up, senior, and he's stepped up. And we have gotten good leadership from our other seniors, Chris Mendoza and Rod Harrow, and then the young kids. You know, we oftentimes we'll have Bubba Smith on the mound. He threw really well for us last year. He threw two no-hitters last year. I mean, against solid teams, against CBC and Menachie. So those were high-level teams. So, and then just, you know, we have a sophomore catcher. We sophomore second baseman, so would be Monis. If I start naming everybody, you're going to hear about the whole team. But Jason Lopez behind the plate is a sophomore doing a good job. Cade Monis at second and short. He plays either and doing a good job at both of those. And Josh Harrow plays short. He plays third. He's been solid. And, I mean, there's a lot of guys on the team that are contributing. You know, Matty Luna, the freshman, he's been swinging the bat really well for us, and you know he's kind of just jumped in and taken off, and you know he's playing like a veteran, even though he's a freshman. So, you know, hopefully I didn't leave anybody out there, but we just, like I say, and then we have a small group, and really they can all play. Everybody on the bench can play. We can sub guys in. We only have a couple of sub guys to sub in, but they all come off the bench and will hit the ball and contribute and get out and play defense. And it's just a team effort. Again, we don't have any superstars, but we've just been playing good team baseball, and we're we're learning and improving, and I think our ceiling is high. We're not near peaking by any stretch, but we are getting better, and potentially this team looks pretty solid.
If you want to watch them play, they're playing tonight at Fowler High School. They're playing Washington Union at 7 o'clock, part of the Fowler Easter Classic. Coach Fever, thanks for joining us again. Congratulations on that 500th win. You've been a staple of the community for years upon years. It is, it's well-deserved that you're getting this attention, and good luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and I would be remiss if I didn't thank all the people that texted me and called me. Quite honestly, I can't believe how many texts and phone calls I've gotten since Thursday. So thank you to all of you that did that. And again, thank you to all the support I had with my dad's recent passing and just the baseball community and all my friends in coaching and how they rallied around my family. I just want to publicly thank them so much for all of that.
Well, you said the right word in community. Baseball community is certainly strong, and you are part of it. Thanks again, and good luck the rest of the way, Coach.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
You bet. Great conversation with that with Coach Fever. You bet. We're going to be talking with Jason Pappy. There's another tournament going on. Lots of tournaments going on. Jason Pappy, the head coach at Fresno High, coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of March Madness. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Just had a really good conversation with Bill Fever, the head baseball coach at Fowler, and I'm glad he said the word community in that. He wanted to thank people in the community that, first of all, thanked him for that 500th win, which is an incredible milestone. But his father passed away, and he wanted to reach out and thank all the people that sent texts and messages to him about that. So the baseball community certainly runs very, very strong in the Central Valley. He runs a great tournament there in Fowler. The facilities are top-notch. And speaking of tournaments, I got Jason Pappy on the line right now, head coach of Fresno High, the massive Fresno Easter Classic. It's starting on Monday. His Warriors are currently 9-4 on the season. Yeah, so Jason, before I get into all the good stuff about baseball, family comes first, right? Describe where you are right now. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of a dance competition right now. My daughters compete five times a year, and they have a competition here in San Jose. So I left after our game last night, drove into town, and I'm currently in the middle of watching them compete. So I'm having a lot of fun here.
Well, yeah, family definitely comes first, and being a girl dad, right? You probably never could have imagined 10 years ago that the Saturday before your big Easter Classic that you'd be at a dance competition. But man, that's just incredible. You got to do it.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna miss. It's funny, I'm actually wearing a prop dad T-shirt right now. I've been moving props on stage this morning and this afternoon, so. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I'll be leaving early tomorrow morning, but I didn't want to miss. So I came late last night, and I'm here, and I'll watch them today, and then tomorrow morning I'll be back to Fresno to get ready for our big coaches dinner tomorrow night.
That's awesome. And, those that know, they know, but what exactly does next week look like in regards of teams? I'm looking at the schedule right now. I mean, it's massive. The teams, the facilities, the scope of the entire tournament.
Yeah, it's big, and it just keeps getting bigger. I think 38 teams is the biggest we've ever had, so this is the second biggest. We got 36 teams, 72 games over a three-day period, which obviously takes a ton of planning. On Monday, we'll have 7 sites rolling at once. Tuesday, we'll have 8, and Wednesday, we'll have 9. So lots of baseball taking place. We got to cram it into a three-day period. We were praying for good weather, and it looks like that's going to hold for us. But we're just really excited to get a bunch of good teams in one place. We got teams from all over the place, Washington, Oregon, up north, Sacramento area, into the Bay Area. We got a lot of competition that's coming into the Valley because they know just how good Valley baseball is, and they want to play in good facilities and play good teams.
Well, I'm looking at Monday's schedule right now. So John Euless Park, 4 games. All these places have 4 games. Well, it looks like Central High has 3. So John Euless Park starting at 10 o'clock. Fresno Pacific now, I believe Buchanan's had to move the games from Buchanan to John Euless. Clovis East, Clovis North, Madera Central, and then Bullard. So why at Fresno Pacific?
So, you know, we are so thankful and happy to be in Fresno Pacific. They got one beautiful facility, and they're actually getting a brand new stadium at the end of this year. So we're going to make that a yearly thing where we're going to be in there. Buchanan was having field issues. Their outfield has been extremely wet. And when the rain came on Tuesday and into Wednesday, me and Coach Fonts had to make a decision. We didn't know how much more water we were going to get. And so we had a backup plan in place where FPU was waiting and said they would love to host us. So we made the switch and moved it over this year to Fresno Pacific. But moving forward, we're going to use them as a site. It's going to be one heck of a facility. It already is, but that stadium is going to be beautiful. So we're really excited and looking forward to getting in there and have some marquee matchups in their stadium.
No, it is a beautiful stadium, and just had the Hirschgordon twins on my show about an hour ago, and Oscar is super easy to work with. I'm sure it only took a couple of phone calls. They're like, yeah, Oscar's like, hey, heck yeah, yeah, we can play at our field, no problem. Is that how it went down?
Oh, yeah. No, it was awesome. He put me in contact. Oscar's a great guy, and he was excited to hear from me, and he put me in contact with Brian, their athletic director in charge of facilities at Fresno Pacific, and we made it happen in no time. We'll have food trucks out there, and we're looking forward to a great tournament.
No, yeah, and one of the things to love, I love, Jason, about your tournament is how you take care of the coaches and how you want it to be a first-rate tournament. You want teams to be calling you to get into the tournament, and that's absolutely the case. What do you think separates? Maybe I shouldn't say that, but what? Why is the tournament so special? Why are coaches knocking on your door to come into the tournament? What stands out in this tournament?
Well, you know, when my dad started this thing 53 years ago, he was big on keeping the integrity of the tournament first class. And in this tournament that is different from most others around the state is that, you know, we provide a lot. You don't throw any baseballs in, T-shirts, coaches' gifts, a steak dinner, coaches' dinner tomorrow night. We want to make it first class, and we want these guys to not only play in great facilities, but play great competition. And so I think these coaches want to come into the Valley where it's a hotbed for baseball. And we just take a lot of pride in making things go smoothly and making everything first class. We love doing it. It's a year-round commitment, but it's something that we take great pride in. And, you know, we just we work hard. I'm so thankful for our tournament committee and all of the people that help out and make this thing what it is. I mean, we have park supervisors, ticket takers, scoreboard operators, announcers, scorekeepers, you name it. We have them at all sites. So it's quite the entourage that helps run this thing and make it first class. And so we're really excited to kick it off on Monday morning. And when you're talking about 72 games in 3 days, the logistics of it is extremely difficult. You know, a lot of the other tournaments, especially the preseason ones, you know, those things are run over 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So if you get a rain day, you know, you have some flexibility to bounce it around and move games around. Here we don't have that flexibility. You're under the gun. You got to make sure that you get these games in. And so we're just really excited to get going and to have a great tournament.
Well, when we were texting earlier in the week about coming on the show, it said, hey, we're going to speak this into existence. We're going to pray for no rain. And according to the app, it looks like it's going to be smooth sailing. So we got that going for us. So that's awesome. I want to ask you, too, this, Jace. With all the things you got to think about, this sometimes forget, oh, yeah, I got to coach a team. Like, right? I mean, you got to worry yeah. about so many things. But, like, yeah, we're playing in this thing, too.
Yeah, you know, that's the most difficult thing. You know, it's hard, but I got to do it. You know, me and my dad will have our cell phones on in the dugout as we're trying to compete against, you know, Hanford High, Kennedy High, Pleasant Grove, you name it, Garza. We've got a tough schedule, but we got to make sure the tournament runs smoothly first. And so if something happens at another site, if we're in the middle of the game, obviously we're answering the phone and we're making sure that things run smooth. So it is hard, but you know what? My assistant coaches do a great job of preparing our teams or our team before the game and getting them ready to play. And, you know, we just love doing it. It's a lot of fun, and we've got some great sponsors. I don't want to leave out our big corporate sponsors, American Ambulance and Valleywide Beverage and John Amendola. Without those guys, this tournament would not happen because, like I said, we give things away. We want it to be first class. So, you know, I'm $20,000 to $25,000 into this thing before a pitch is thrown every year. And so, you know, without those guys and their financial support and them believing in this thing and the history of it and the tradition of it, it would be hard for us to continue. So, you know, we're really grateful and we're really excited. And we just love putting a good product on the field for not only Valley teams, but teams up and down the state of California as well into other states now.
Well, it certainly shows, and I want to ask you about the tiebreaker, right? So it's all the games are preset. So I'm looking at the schedule here. The games are all preset. So how do you determine who makes it to the championship games? What does that look like?
Yeah, so, you know, a few years ago now, the state CIF came in and did not give a free contact anymore for championship games. It used to be where you would get four games in a tournament, and the championship game, if you earn that right, it was free. That's not the case anymore. So we have to evaluate after three games, and that's the way in all the tournaments. Doesn't matter if it's Coca-Cola Classic, the Central Tournament. You know, those are six-game tournaments, so they're evaluating after five games. And we've got to evaluate, you know, who's undefeated. And obviously, in a 36-team field, there's going to be more than 2-3-0 teams, probably. And so then we go to our tiebreakers, which is obviously runs against. Then after that, it's offensive strikeouts. You know, we don't want to do a run differential because, you know, the integrity of the game of baseball is lost, in my opinion, when that happens. Because you're encouraging teams to run up the score. And I don't think that's good for anybody. You know, let's try to score 100 runs. Because there's going to be a run differential. You know, the baseball, as I heard when I came on, you know, the baseball coaches community and just in general, the respect level for the game of baseball, you know, there's unwritten rules. And the run differential thing is something we don't want to do. So we go runs against. So it makes you play good defense. It makes you pitch. And it makes you, you know, try to be the best team against whoever you play. And that schedule, my scheduling committee does one hell of a job to get, like I said, 72 games in 3 days. We make sure that nobody in the same league plays each other. We make sure that nobody that plays each other last year plays. So it's a lot of work, and we try to create good matchups. Teams that are coming from out of the area want to play against good teams, and our in-area teams want to play against good teams that they don't usually get to play in. So we've got some great marquee matchups that you'll see on the schedule, and we're just excited for great baseball to take place over the next 3 days.
And I talk a lot about that word community on my show, and you know that's really important to me, and it sounds like it's really important to you. And again, thanks for inviting me to the Sunday night dinner. I want to talk about that. How cool is that? Right, you get the coaches together, you invite, you know, corporate sponsors, and I'm sure you guys are talking about everything and anything under the sun at these things. You're talking baseball, you're talking family, but how cool is that to see the community come together and you see coaches that, you know, they want to beat each other on the field, but they're coming together and they're having a good time and talking.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, that dinner is, if you've ever been there, you know, it's a little exciting in there. You know, we've got coaches when they get in the same room, you know, it can be pretty funny. But we have a Golden Bat Award that we give every year. And this year, I'm happy to say that Cliff Rold will be our Golden Bat recipient, a longtime coach in this area who did one heck of a job at Edison High School and is retired last year, moved to Tennessee, and he's flying back in to receive the award. And, you know, we have all the coaches introduce their staffs, who they brought with them. They talk about their teams. And Jimmy Pardini does one heck of a job. Usually it's located at Pardini's, but they're going through a remodel right now. So this year our coaches dinners at D&D Ranch. And, you know, it's fun, just the camaraderie of the thing and to get all the coaches in the same room and have dinner together and kick off the tournament the right way is a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of fun stories that go along when coaches get together. It's always a good time. And I know you've played for some good coaches in your career. I want to ask you, too, Jason, about – you know, your playing days. I think a lot of people assume that you played for your dad, but you actually went to Hoover and played in the Easter Classic as well. But, you know, Coach Rupchich and Coach Bennett and Ron Scott and all these great coaches, how did those guys influence you? And what are your main takeaways that you've implemented in your own coaching career from those guys?
Yeah, you know, I was very lucky to play for great coaches. And I had, as you guys know, one heck of a coach that I had as a father. But, you know, my dad was hands off. If I asked him for help, he was more than willing to help, and we talked baseball a lot. But he wanted me to go to my home school and play with my friends, play with the guys that I grew up with. So I did go to Hoover High. I played there. We were actually the Easter Classic champions my senior year in 96. We had a really good team that year, won 13 in a row. At one point, we were number one in the Valley. I was so fortunate. Right out of high school, I went and played 2 years for Coach Scott. Got bigger, got stronger. I was able to get a scholarship to go to Fresno State and play for 2 years. Under legendary coaches and Coach Bennett, Coach Rupchich, and Coach Purse, who's still coaching at Reedley College. And I learned so much. And then, most importantly, you know, when I was out and done playing, Coach Bennett gave me the opportunity to coach on his staff his last 2 years of his coaching career at Fresno State. So I was fortunate to coach with him. And I remember he just threw me into the fire. He taught me something that I still remember to this day. And I try to tell our coaches, you know, he said something to me right when I started. He said, "Hey, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen." And that's something that I've really taken to heart. And it's true. We're trying to make not only better baseball players, but better men. And it doesn't matter on what avenue of the game or in their life, we try to coach kids up. And so I was so fortunate just to have a father that was such a great baseball coach and such a great leader of young men, and then be able to get coached by legendary coaches as well. So I'm very thankful and enjoying my time still coaching with my dad, 75 years old, 50-plus years at Fresno High. And he's out there every single day. I mean, I feel bad even being here, but, you know, he wants me to obviously be here to watch my own daughters because, you know, there's a heck of a lot of work. And so I'm working here in between dances, going up to the room and working on Easter Classic stuff, talking to him, preparing for this thing. And I know right now my dad's at Fresno High preparing cash boxes and doing all the inside little details that, you know, the outside community might not know. When you've got 9 different sites going at one time, it's crazy, and there's a lot of little things that go into it. And so we have a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. I'm so thankful to be doing this with my dad still, having him next to me in the dugout every day. And like I said earlier, we're just so excited to get this thing kicked off on Monday morning.
Talking with Jason Pappy, and Jason, one of the things that I absolutely admire about you is that you don't take it for granted. You don't take the relationship with your father for granted, and you savor every moment. That is awesome. I want to ask you, too, about your Fresno State days and playing against some dudes. Like, who are some of the guys that you played with or played against that you saw that were future major leaguers that were just next-level dudes that were like, oh, my gosh, God certainly blessed that person with athletic ability. Who were some guys that stood out to you?
You know, I was so fortunate to have good friends and teammates, a couple that jump out off the page for me. Josh Lamandera, one of my best friends to this day, played in the big leagues, was one heck of a player. Brandon Gamal, another great player that was an All-American. And then another good friend of mine, Ben Fritz, who's now the bullpen coach with the San Diego Padres. Those were guys that were really impressive. And one of the guys that sticks out to me, and it was funny because I always take credit for it, and he's still a friend to this day, is Casey McGee. You know, I took Casey on his recruiting trip my senior year. He was he stayed with me on the recruiting trip, and I always take credit for him. That recruiting trip, the three guys that came on that thing was Chris Patrick, Casey McGee, and Aaron Hill, and we were able to get 2 and 3. So yeah, it was a pretty good group of guys that came in. But those guys stand out. But I played with so many good players and just created so many lifelong friendships, guys that are in the coaching profession or the scouting profession. It's pretty cool. I mean, just to see all the coaches around this area that are local guys that were coached by the same guys as me. I think that is a true testament to, you know, a guy like Coach Bennett and Rupsich and Purse that taught the game and taught it the right way and taught you to respect the game and don't take the little things for granted. Be detail-oriented and work hard, and good things take care of themselves when you do that.
Well, I think what Casey McGee, third baseman, I believe drafted by the Cubs, and Fritz was drafted by the A's pretty high as a pitcher, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's not about right.
Ben was a first-round pick. Oh, yeah.
First round.
Part of that Moneyball deal.
Yeah, that's cool. And obviously a bullpen coach for the San Diego. I got to ask you, how's your Fungo game right now? I saw a couple of clips of you online recently, and you still got it, man. The old lefty, you're putting it on the spot every time, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I take a lot of pride in hitting the Fungo. You know, my biggest thing is the catcher pop-up. I tell my coaches all the time, I said, hey, in order to coach in our program, you got to be able to do 2 things. And only, well, I guess maybe 3 things. But the first 2 is you got to be able to throw batting practice. The second is you better be able to hit a Fungo. And the third thing is you better be able to go have a beer with me so we can write a lineup before the game. And if you can do those 3 things, you can be one heck of a coach at Fresno High. So,
do you give yourself 1 shot to the catcher pop up? Are you one and done at the end of in and out for a game?
I try to say that I am, but you know I as I'm getting older, you know, sometimes that back's a little tight, so I got to do some stretching before we go. But yeah, no, I'm usually one and done. My team likes to watch it and hope that I nail it, and if I get it inside the circle, man, that's a true win.
There you go. Yeah, if you pop that thing up, it hits out in short outfield, man. That's, I don't know. You got to make that decision. Do I walk off the field in shame, or do I give it another shot? And if I blow it on the second one, man, that's a long walk back to the dugout.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. But I do take a lot of pride in my fungo game, and I learned that from my dad and Coach Bennett. I've never seen a guy with a better fungo than Coach Bennett. It was unbelievable. Even at the back part of his career, he was able to handle that thing and put balls wherever he wanted. And, you know, you could work your kids pretty hard when you know that you can just hit it a step away and they can almost get to it, but they don't. So, yeah, I take a lot of pride in my fungo.
Well, one of Coach Bennett's nickname, and I learned this from Tim Thiessen, was Bullet Bob, because he could maneuver that fungo like anybody's business. And if you didn't step up and get ready for the next play, man, he was going to hit a rocket right at you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, you know, when I was at Fresno State, and like I told you, Coach Bennett threw me in the fire. he was big on doing the in and out the right way, and you had to finish it in 7 minutes or less. And if you didn't get it done, you know, it was get off the field. I mean, it was fast-paced and fast-tempo, and we take a lot of pride in that now at Fresno High. I said, you know, we're not going out there and taking 25-minute infields. We're going to get in, we're going to get out, and we're going to be clean and crisp. And so that's what we try to do. It doesn't always end up that way, but we work as hard as we can to make that happen.
Yeah, we're talking with Jason Pappy. Jason, we got about another minute here. Tell me about your team, man. We've talked a lot about the Easter Classic and other teams and all the great things that go into it, but tell me a little bit about your team. Yeah, what's going on with you guys? You guys are 9-4 in the season, correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm really proud of these guys. We got a good group of guys. You know, we don't have the biggest team in terms of numbers. You know, 14 guys on the club, but you know, we got a bunch of hard workers. These guys grind every day. We harp on doing the little things right. We've played you know, one of the toughest schedules that we've had over the years, and with that, I mean, you know, our kids have played everybody tough. There is not a game that we haven't been in. You know, that Clovis North score is very deceiving. We were 0-0 into the sixth inning with those guys with two outs, and they scored 7 unearned runs with 2 outs. So even that score of 7 or 8 to nothing was deceiving. But 3-2 loss to Bakersfield Christian. Their kid that's going to TCU hit a homer in the bottom of the 6th. Big win over Clovis East, who I see is playing real well right now. You know, we've played a tough schedule, and our kids have answered. I mean, every single game we've been in the game. You know, Madera High was a 1 or 2 to nothing game. Hitting early was a little behind, but that's natural in the preseason. And I think our kids are, you know, the sun's starting to come out a little bit. And I always tell our guys, hey, when the sun comes out, that's when we get rolling. So we've played really well. We had a good week. We hit the ball well. We pitched well this week. And we're just hoping to play good baseball in the Easter tournament against a very good competition. So we're excited.
Well, on Monday at Fresno City College, they're taking on Hanford at 1 o'clock. And later, under the lights, they're playing Kennedy at 7. Jason, we always appreciate you, man. You respond to texts in a timely fashion. Really appreciate it. You're always up for a conversation. So good luck this week, and thanks for all you do for baseball in the Central Valley.
Hey, Paul, thank you, and I want to thank you for all you do. It doesn't go unnoticed. You know, these young student-athletes deserve this and what you guys do, and just, you know, the presence that you guys provide for them. So thank you so much for what you do, and we're just really excited to get going, and hope to see you out at some games.
Yeah, you bet. I'll be there. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Fresno Easter Classic. Jason, thanks again, and have a fun rest of the day in San Jose.
Thank you, Paul. Talk to you later.
You bet. All right. I'll take us all the way to 12 o'clock here, but yeah, Jason does an incredible job. You know, he talks a lot about his father, Ken. You know, his uncle Stan played in the major leagues, just a baseball family through and through. Thanks to, you know, for Jason, for all he does in the Central Valley. I want to mention, I have Fresno State. Speaking of Fresno State, Jason, you know, played for Coach Bennett. Some great stories about him. I have tickets to the Bulldog baseball game here at First String Sports. They're playing UC Santa Barbara, who they beat yesterday. Playing UC Santa Barbara, nationally ranked at 305. Come down here to First String Sports. We got some free tickets for you guys. We got a bunch of them. Take as many as you want. Again, Fresno State baseball, 305 today. Bob Bennett Stadium, Pete Biden Field, UC Santa Barbara. Come get those tickets. Final Four is also happening today at 3 o'clock. That's always a lot of fun. And spring break, it's here for us teachers and students and parents as well. It's going to be a great week. I'm always looking forward to my spring break. I'm actually able to go to the A's game tomorrow. So I'm taking my two daughters that are still at home. I have another daughter that's in college in Arizona. We're going to take a night, go to the A's game, watch the Angels, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and the Angels have a ton of talent, and the A's are going to be scrappy this year. They don't have a lot of
your home for high school.